Tango Tango Papa 1955, March 11, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Amarillo, Texas. So I spent the night at home last night, and then I got up this morning and got around and left. And so I've made it to Amarillo, Texas. I could have kept driving for another couple of hours, but there's really no need right now. See, today's Friday, so I've got Saturday and Sunday to drive the remaining 1,042 miles, according to my that I have remaining according to my Garmin GPS. So I should be able to do that pretty easily, of course, barring any kind of problems, which I really don't anticipate, because in this part of the country, you really don't run into massive traffic jams. That's not to say that they can't happen, but they're much more likely to happen on the East Coast. The farther east you go, especially the Northeast, that seems to be where they're most likely to happen. Also, places like Tennessee, you never really know. Between Indianapolis and the Chicago area, you never know about that. So there's certain places where it's those kind of things can happen, but not as likely. You get out here in the, especially Amarillo and on west, and really into western Oklahoma, and it's really not very likely that you're going to run into massive traffic problems, unless the road's closed because of an accident, or sometimes you can get a little bit of a slowdown if there's road construction. But I don't anticipate anything like that. So even if I do have to have some slowdowns, 1,042 miles is pretty doable with the amount of time that I have, because that's a little, about 500 miles or a little more, let's say 525 miles a day, Saturday and Sunday. And it might be that I might depending on where I stop at, I might go 600 miles, and then that'll leave about 440 something. So should work out all right. So it was cool this morning. It was, what was it? It wasn't cold by any means. It was in, I think it was around maybe 52 or 55. And the warmest that I saw that it got today was in western Oklahoma. It was like 68 degrees, but there was a fairly stiff breeze. Wasn't really blowing hard, but the wind's always kind of blowing out there. So even at 68 degrees, if you were going to be outside for for any length of time, and out in the wind, you'd probably want at least some sort of a jacket in order to really be comfortable. Even at 68 degrees, the sun was shining. Before I got to Oklahoma City, I did go through quite an area where it was overcast and sort of on and off drizzle, but then once I got closer to Oklahoma City, that stopped, and then west of Oklahoma City, especially into the Texas Panhandle, the skies were pretty much mostly clear, and of course, no storms, but I just looked at the radar a while ago, and it looks like there's a band of thunderstorms that's actually that's in western Oklahoma right now, and it's headed this way. So it may, I don't know, it may rain here. You know, I may wake up to rain. I don't know. And it also looked like it was raining in, of all places, it was raining in somewhat in Southern California. So it does rain there sometimes. But I don't know, you know, what, you know, by the time I get there, it's probably going to be gone. So anyhow, the reason there's a podcast is because I've got a piece of feedback from Mike. And I'm going to play it. I haven't actually listened to all of it yet, so we're going to be listening to this together. So I don't even know what he's going to be talking about, but so I may end up doing kind of a stop start on it. I'm not sure, but in any event, here is Mike.
Morning, Tom. It's Mike in North Carolina. I just wanted to give you some feedback there. I got pretty busy yesterday, and they run me around all over locally. But I hope you're having a good trip to California and everything. I want to tell you about a thing I got into yesterday with a customer. They were talking to me about politics, and he was saying, Trump's doing pretty good, isn't he? And I was like, yeah, he's doing okay. And I had known that this guy, he liked Bernie, and I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. And we sort of got into a little debate there. He kept raising up points, and I kept raising up points, and we were going back and forth, and I just wished I had recorded it. It was so spirited. It was, you know, we try to not take each other, you know, too harshly, you know. But it was such a good debate. I wished I had recorded it. I even got to thinking, I was like, man, I wish that like I could come on like a three-way call or something and have him on there and like you be the moderator or something. And because it was like, even though we didn't need a moderator, but I mean, it'd be so cool to have your opinions in there too. I mean, we were just back and forth. It was so good. He would raise up points. It come down to the end. He was finally like, well, he's all about money. That's why he's doing it. And I said, yeah, probably. Okay. And I said, but basically you're saying wealth envy. That's basically what it comes down to for you. And he got mad and walked away. But, you know, some of the points he raised up were like, well, the Pope, I think he's the best Pope ever. And Donald Trump even made the Pope mad. And I'm like, well, the Pope made him mad. I'm like, he shouldn't have said anything about our country, a political thing anyway. I was like, he needs to worry about what's going on over there and with all them priests molesting kids and stuff like that. He needs to take care of his own stuff. And they got a wall built up over there anyway. What's he talking about? Then we got into the wall. He was like, that's just, he goes, I got to say this. He goes, that's just the stupidest thing, that wall. And I said, well, that's your opinion, but I don't think so. I said, if anything, I think it's a starting point. I said, okay. I said, okay, look at this way. Let's just forget the wall. Let's just forget all about the wall. The people are coming over here. Why don't we go out to Texas, build a giant warehouse, and at least house these people, make sure they're not diseased up, check them out who they are. If they're bad, take them deep into Mexico. If they're good people, try and integrate them into society. He was all against that. But of course he's from Ghana, you know, and he's in the military. But the thing is, you're all against that. But at the same time, I was like, well, don't you care about the people? You know, I mean, you know, don't you care about the people that are, you know, going through the desert and dying and all this stuff? I mean, to get here, you know, you know, that's normally the liberal mindset. And then uh, he was like, well, we, excuse me, I'm getting ready for work here, so I'm in and out. But then he was like, well, we can't do that. And I was like, why not? We can get them to build the wall. And he's like, Mexico's not going to build that wall. And I was like, well, they said we couldn't go to the moon, but we did. I said, everybody tells us we can't do stuff, but we can do it if we set our mind to it. And we just went back and forth. He basically hated Trump just for who he was and his money. And I kept telling him, I said, okay, look, let's put it this way. Not everything Obama's done is bad. I said, I feel like a majority of it. I said, but not everything Donald Trump does is bad either. You got to admit that.
Well, let me interrupt. the people, and it's from the sounds of it, from your description of this guy, you know, it's a, kind of the classic liberal mindset. He's kind of projecting what he thinks Donald Trump is, because Donald Trump has been successful, and then you have the envy, this typical wealth envy. Donald Trump is basically a really nice guy, and they've tried to make him, oh, he's a bully. Well, no, he's not. The only time he actually responds is when he's been attacked. And he, you know, he doesn't make the mistake of just saying, well, I'll just let that go and maybe they'll go away. He attacks, he hits, you know, metaphorically, he hits back harder than they hit him to start with. And then they try to turn around and say, oh, he's a bully. You know, and so if you, to understand this, if you can, it's always useful to reduce it down to basic family dysfunction. Whatever can happen in a, let's say, a man-wife relationship, husband-wife relationship, or man-woman relationship, to be more accurate, because they don't even have to be married in, to kind of engage in this, can, you know, it translates into politics. And so it would be like, let's say you have a woman and you have a man. And let's say the woman is, and it could be sometimes the roles are reversed, but, you know, typically you have the woman and she's being some kind of, she's being unreasonable in some way. And sometimes the women actually hit the men first. And then, you know, and of course the man ends up hitting back or because he has lost his, he sort of has lost his manhood to the woman, then he tries to become violent in order to get it back. And then, but oftentimes the women, and like I say, I'm not picking on women, because sometimes the roles are reversed, but it's typically the woman will sort of... is very adept at sort of projecting into the man, and getting him to react, and then it looks like he's the problem. He's a big bully, you know, beating on a woman or whatever. Donald Trump, the reason Donald Trump has been so successful, and it's a subtle thing, and it, you know, whenever he responds back, he doesn't do it resentfully. He, you know, when he hits back, he's not doing it resentfully. He, but he hits back hard, but he's not doing it resentfully. And then you can sooner or later, then people can begin to see, well, it's those other people, you know, the ones that are prejudiced against him, the ones that are saying all these things against him. They're the ones with the problem. And so then it becomes obvious that, they're envious of his success. They're envious of his wealth, trying to use that against him, make him feel guilty about it. And, of course, with a lot of people, that works. That ends up, you know, there's a lot of wealthy people, there's a lot of successful people that feel really guilty, and that's why there's so many of them. You have the rich liberals, you know, the sort of the limousine liberals. They really feel guilty about. They end up feeling guilty about being successful, and about being wealthy. And Donald Trump doesn't do that. He's got the right kind of. I'm going to say he's proud of what he's achieved, but he's got the right kind of, it's not all braggadocio and ego, because there's a different energy to it. And that's what, people are recognizing that. They can't really put it into words. I'm struggling to put it into words, but people are able to recognize it, because he's a good example. But we can build a wall. Why not? And Mexico can pay for it. We've got a $58 billion annual deficit with Mexico in Mexico's favor. So in other words, there's $58 billion a year is flowing out of the United States over and above whatever flows, back the other way. In terms of goods and services that are made in Mexico, that we, kind of coming back the other way, there's $58 billion more that goes in the other direction, back into Mexico. So, in a sense, Trump can make, just by reducing that, he can make Mexico pay for the wall, just by reducing the amount of of that deficit, that trade deficit. And of course, and we have a $500 billion trade deficit with China. And, and how would you do that? Well, he gives specifics. He's talking about tariffs. Let's impose a few tariffs, because we got this slave labor. Particularly in China, the people are working for really terrible, in terrible working conditions for really low wages. And, of course, all these devices that we have now that are made in China, and we find them really inexpensive compared to what, imagine an iPhone or an iPad that was manufactured in China. Imagine how much it would cost if you had to pay American wages to do it. Then you would never be able to sell it. It would be cost prohibitive. But yet, the people that they want open borders and just allow anybody to come in. Why not? Just allow anybody to come in. You can't. How dare you put up a border around your country? But yet they want their cheap computer products. They want their cheap iPhones, so it's hypocritical. But of course they can't see that. The problem is, of course, when you argue with people, depending on their mindset, it's kind of like there's a quote with Thomas Paine, and he said, arguing with people that have abandoned reason, and this is kind of paraphrasing what he said, but arguing with people that are trying to reason with people, arguing, with reason to people that have abandoned reason, what was the other part of it? Something they've sort of given up on their fellow humanity. They have a sort of a hatred for their fellow human beings. You might as well be administering medicine to a corpse. It's going to be about as effective. And that really is true. When you argue logically with a lot of these people, it drives them insane, because you'll never convince them, and the logic of it, they don't like it. They despise the logic, And they'll, of course, then they'll accuse you of being emotional and, oh, you're xenophobic and, you know, whatever, whatever else. But this is our country, you know, and they try to say, oh, well, you weren't native to what, well, yes, I was. I was born on the soil, so sorry, I'm native. and I don't, you know, we can't be responsible for what our ancestors did. That's another thing. We're not responsible for what our ancestors did. I'm sorry, but we're not. We weren't here. Our ancestors did what they did, and they're dead and buried. We can only be responsible for ourselves, and that's all. So we're here. This is our country. We can put up the wall. Those other people, you know, if they want to come in legally, that's one thing. But just to flood in, sorry. And the reason that, the reason that they want all these people flooding in is precisely to dilute the culture, to destroy what's here, and to make us into a, you know, so that we're, you know, make us into a third world country, so we're just like everybody else. And that'll make it fair, because it's unfair for the people in third world. Anytime you hear third world, think third rate. People in third rate countries, it's just unfair that they're by accident of birth they were born into a third rate country. And how dare those Americans put up a wall? How dare they have borders, real genuine borders around their country? And make people come in legally and actually assimilate into the culture. So, but I don't know. So I've gotten where I really don't, especially if I overhear people talking, I don't argue specific politics. I like to talk about morals. And in most cases, people... you'll have some people that will react negatively to that, but for the most part, people will agree with that. You know, they can, because it's really, it comes down to the destruction of the family. You destroy the family, destroy any kind of family unit, destroy the father specifically. So that the father is just a sperm, you know, kind of an unknown sperm donor. And then you have out of wedlock, all these out of wedlock children, excuse me. And they're just fodder for the screwed up school system. And the school system takes over where the failed parents leave off. And so... But there's a lot of people that have been in this country, and I don't know what the percentage is. It's substantial, as we're seeing with all these people showing up at Trump rallies. There's a substantial portion of the population that is, at this point, we're not taking it anymore. Something has happened. Something has spontaneously, finally happened, and people just aren't taking it anymore. And if, you know, you tell the guy from Ghana, well, if you don't like it, I mean, this is what's happening. If you don't like it, you know, go somewhere else. Go back to Ghana. You know, if that's so wonderful, you know, does Ghana have borders? Are people trying to, you know, cross the Ghana border into the border into Ghana? Probably not. So, you know, if you don't like it, then you're free to go. You know, this isn't Russia. You know, this isn't the old Soviet Union where they built up, you know, they had walls to keep people in. At least not yet. So, you know, but the part of it is you got to learn to, you know, when they call you names, you know, and you if you want to call me name or you want to call me xenophobic or you can call me whatever you want, I don't care. I literally don't care the words that people try to hurl. And so you have to be, you know, you have to be able to put up with a portion of that. And, you know, you have to be able to put up with the screaming people. You know, it would be, you know, again, if you can go back to a man-woman relationship, a dysfunctional one, where you've got one of them that's being really unreasonable. If the other person, let's say, you know, let's say it's the man, because that's typically the one that should assume the role of being reasonable but firm. You know, the woman, you know, just screams and, you know, jumps up and down and throws fits and whatever. And, you know, the man is just kind of standing there taking the abuse, but, you know, kind of being resolute. Then sooner or later, the woman's just going to wear down, and that's going to be the end of it. Same way with a kid throwing a temper tantrum. If the parent is reasonable with the child but firm, sooner or later the kid is just, you know, he's going to wear out, and he's going to say, oh, yeah, Dad, yeah, Mom, you were right. Sorry. Just had my temper tantrum. You know, so, but that, you know, that's what is, that's really what's needed. Now, another part of the reaction to Trump is, because he does have a very reasonable side, and to, you know, particularly like if you could imagine a rabid feminist that, you know, thinks men are just the root, they're just horrible, men should be eradicated or emasculated, you know, a real man, someone, and I'm not talking about one that beats women up or whatever, but one that has strength, you know, without strength, you know, really strength of character, and the ability to be patient and reasonable, they hate them worst of all. And so there's, if you translate that into politics, there's a segment of our population that is just going crazy over the thought of Donald Trump, you know, not just the thought that he might become, have a chance at becoming president, but at the very fact that he's got all this publicity. And he's, you know, you look at there are country after country after country that are coming out, and there's, you know, there, I saw a headline earlier, I guess it was earlier today on Drudge, and it was, what was it? It was one of the Arab countries. And they were saying, well, Trump is bad for, you know, he's going to cause a clash of civilization. Well, what the hell does that mean? That means that they were expecting to be able to get their way and just, you know, kind of migrate into the United States and, you know, kind of have their caliphate, their worldwide caliphate, and dominate. And how dare Donald Trump come along and stand up to them? You know, he's going to create a clash of civilization. Well, sorry, it's not Donald Trump. It's a substantial portion of the American people that, you know, we're using Donald Trump. Donald Trump just happened to come along at the right time, right place, right time. But it's the real thing that is disturbing them, and may not be able to put it into words, but the real thing that's disturbing them is all of these people that are showing up at these rallies. So, at this point, you know, I'm not, you know, I won't, I'm just not getting involved. I've been involved in a lot of political, kind of debates back and forth. And, at this point, I, you know, if I hear somebody talking politics, I just, you know, whatever, I'm not even gonna, I ignore them, you know, unless I can have a real discussion with, you know, with a friend or a relative, you know, and the discussion is real, then as far as getting involved in a political discussion, you know, with, especially with strangers around, not so much, because there's just too much of it's a waste of time, really, most of the time. So So anyway, but I just wanted to kind of comment a little bit. There's about half of Mike's comment left or more. So once again, here is Mike.
Yeah, so we sort of agreed to disagree, but it was just, it was heated there for a little bit. And I was like, well, look, you know, I mean, basically that's the best thing about the country is we can agree to disagree and everybody's got their opinions. And that's just a good thing. And, but anyway, I thought you'd like to hear that. And, but anyway, I really enjoy your show and I love listening to it. And me and the son have for years now, and we're glad to hear you doing well and, everything. And, that some of the people that get on Facebook, they do tend to get a little extreme, you know, and they throw the adjectives out, and I guess that you could say I get extreme too, but it's like when they throw those adjectives out there, he's stupid, blah blah blah, it's like, well, that's just, you know, that you're just, that's not really being productive, that's just throwing adjectives out there for, you know, what does that really do? It's really not productive. You know, like I told him, I was like, you know, you can say all these bad things. I said, but I like his plans for the country. He goes, I don't like those plans. And I'm like, he goes, I'll vote for Hillary no matter what. And I'm like, well, go ahead. You're free to do that. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to vote the other way. And it surprised me because he was in the military. He said, you know, basically he's going to take us to war and he's going to, the world, oh, this is another thing. The world doesn't respect us. The other countries, they don't like him. They don't respect him. You know, they respect us, but they don't like him. The other countries don't like him. And I was like, well, you know, I'm tired of worrying about what they think. You know, we're running around supporting them, having our troops killed left and right, all this kind of stuff. It's like, I really don't care what they think. If they don't like him, that's their fault. You know, if we did everything they liked, I guess we wouldn't be a country. We'd be who they are. So we were just really back and forth. But anyway, we end up agreeing to disagree. Well, I guess this, yeah, I just wanted to say, enjoy your show. Maybe you can think about that. I mean, I thought that'd be a pretty good thing if, you know, we could get a three-way call going. Maybe, I don't know whether he'd be up for it or not. You know, I don't know. I mean, but I thought, you know, because he's very intelligent. He's a good guy. He has different beliefs. He thinks that school is too expensive. And, of course, he's gone to school. That they should pay for, you know, people are in debt too much. And I'm like, well, that's their fault. I didn't tell them to go to school and get in debt and get out here and go to work like everybody else. I mean, we need people to pick up trash, drive trucks, work at McDonald's. You know, I had three jobs at one time there. You know, we even four at one time and going to school. So, I mean, it's, I don't know, the school isn't the end all be all. So, but anyway, I know I sound like a rambling mess, but anyway, I'll give you some more feedback later on. I'll talk to him again and see and everything. But anyway, take care and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike. Yeah, the problem is, you know, with people that like that, especially, there's a lot of them that it's, you know, they accuse us of saying, well, it's my way or the highway, but it's actually them. They want, you know, they always want, well, we should work together and you know, cross the aisle or whatever, but it's a one-way street. You know, they never want to come over to the other side. And but the thing is, with the interesting thing with Trump, one of the many interesting things with the Trump thing that's going on, is that there's a substantial number of people that are attracted to Donald Trump that would normally be liberals, or that would normally, or at least would normally be attracted to the Democrat Party. And, you know, there's some people that are talking about that, but there are a substantial number of Democrats that, you know, people that would normally vote Democrat that are in fact attracted to Trump. And, you know, because for years, you know, I've made the mistake of arguing with my parents, and my parents, especially my mom, is pretty, you know, she tends to be a liberal, let's face it. And she, you know, kind of a staunch Democrat, and Dad's kind of the same way. Especially, I don't know, politically so much, but, you know, because they've worked and they've taught us to work, but yet, you know, they've, for whatever reason, they've sort of tended to side with the Democrats, you know, and I think they were sort of emotionally tricked into it. And then a lot of people can't, you know, once they've done that, then they can't let go of it. But even my parents like Donald Trump. You know, it's the darndest thing. So there's a lot of, you know, and obviously a substantial number of Republicans as well. But then you have the people, there's Democrats, both Democrats and Republicans, that, you know, that just see him as some, you know, the Trump thing that's going on, really the political movement that's going on, they see that as, oh my God, how can this happen? This is a, you know, or the world's going to think terrible of us, and, you know, the typical stuff. And it's exactly the opposite. You know, does the world like us right now? We've had going on 8 years of Obama and Obama's extreme liberal policies. And I dare say that the world hates us more than ever. And, you know, the idea, well, they're not going to like us. Somehow we've got to make us like them. You know, well, what is this? Are we trying to be, you know, win a high school popularity contest? Is that what it is? And, of course, the reason that people think that way is because they're externalized people. In the podcast last night, I was talking, you know, be still, you know, be still and know that I'm God. That's a line from the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. Okay, be still so that the knowing can catch up with you. You know, and that means getting rid of the resentment, because the resentment is at the root. That's, you know, playing God, hurling the metal thunderbolts in your mind as if you were God and you could strike the anything, people, places, and things that, you know, dead, that somehow offended you, somehow bothered you. And, but that resentment literally cuts you off from what you could otherwise be, from who, you know, the identity that you would otherwise naturally have, the unique identity, the potentially unique identity. But, and the being still part, if you can learn to be still in the right way, then the knowing that comes along will cause you to get rid of the resentment. But, you know, there are certain people that don't want, they, you know, they, even though it causes them a lot of trouble, they sort of like, they're in love with the lie that they're really God, and they, you know, then, so they cling to the resentment. You know, you want to talk about bitter clingers. They cling to the resentment, and, you know, and then they, you know, they just, they have the little momentary thing that, you know, where they're playing God in their own mind, and they're they've made in their own mind, they're in their own imagination, they're superior to this thing that they're hating. But it literally cuts them off from who they could be. All of us. Cuts us all off. And when that happens, there are only really two things that there's really only one thing that's really satisfying, and that is if you can get rid of the resentment and allow the knowing to catch up with you. Be still and allow the knowing to catch up with you. Then this another identity comes from within, and you end up with sort of a, you know, it's sort of like being an explorer in a sense, because the things to discover are endless. The only thing that gives real meaning then is, besides this curiosity and exploration of the universe around us, the only thing that really gives us any real joy and any real meaning, adds real meaning to our lives, is this identity that comes from our Creator. And that includes a sort of an ethical system. But if you're cut off from that, if you're cut off from that knowing, or even more so, if you hate the knowing and you're trying to distract yourself away from, you know, God forbid that knowing would ever catch up with you, then what's your other choice? You have to become an externalized person. Then it all becomes about, well, you know, how much does that person have? What does that person look like? Do they look better than I do? Do they have more than I do? How dare they have more than I do? I resent them for having more than I do. I resent them for looking better than I do. They have more looks than I. That's not fair. You know, I'm gonna take their money. You know, take their money away from them, because it's not fair that they've been able to work and have more than I do. It's not fair. So I'm gonna take part of that, or take as much of it as I can. Everybody will be the same. And of course, that never works. But at the same time, there's increasingly obsessed. If you're an externalized person, you're running away from that knowing that would otherwise catch up with you if you were still. You're an externalized person. You can never stop looking for differences. You're driven. You're obsessed with finding differences, and obsessing over those differences as much as you possibly can. So that's where the racism comes from. That's where the real racism resides. And, you know, so you have liberals that are obsessive, that all they want to do is talk about race. And they want to talk about, income inequality and blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's all about being obsessed with who has what, and who looks better than I do, or where, you know, how dare this person, you know, if you're born in the United States, you've got an unfair advantage over the people that were born in Ghana, for example, etc., etc. So, it really all does come down to identity. You know, where does your identity come from? Where does your sense of self come from? And if you're an externalized person, then, as I say, you're driven to find differences and to exploit differences, whether you like it or not. All who sin, resentment being the sin, all who sin are slaves. And so they're enslaved to finding differences and exploiting differences. So for a person like that, if you're really one of those people, the only sense of satisfaction that you can get, even briefly, is to try to trip up people that are more innocent than you are, to try to destroy people that are closer to the knowing than you are, because you look at them as the problem. You look at the, because they're sort of an external representative of the knowing, the internal knowing that you're running away from. And so they're really driven to see that as the evil. You know, so you find people that are, to put it in more biblical language, find people that are more innocent than you are. And innocence really is, can be for the purpose, you know, they can really be defined as people that have allowed, you know, they're closer to the knowing and, you know, closer to having allowed at least some of that knowing catch up with them, then they're innocent. And so then if you're really a super guilty person, you're driven to persecute the innocent. And so that's why in Nazi Germany, the Jews were the ones that were hated, because they were closer to their innocence, to their natural innocence. They were closer to allowing, because of the if you're really familiar with the Jewish religion and all of the Jewish teachings, even though you're not going to be a perfect person, if you really follow all of the tenets of in the wisdom that is contained within Judaism, then you're going to be a successful, chances are you're going to be a successful person. And you're going to, even in rotten conditions, Jewish people tend to be financially successful. And they tend to have nice families. And so, the people of Nazi Germany looked at that. And, somehow it's those bad Jews, somehow they're stealing from us, or they're somehow, because they're industrious and and so on and so forth, somehow it's their fault. They're making me feel bad somehow. And so the innocent always end up being persecuted because of that. And but it's up to the innocent to stand up. It's up to the innocent to not get on the train, because if you had the Jewish people, they sort of docilely got on the trains and what have you, and they, there were plenty of opportunities where they could have, as a group, they could have put a stop to what was going on, but they didn't. They just sort of docilely went along. Now, I don't think that's going to happen anymore, especially with Israel. They're not going to let that happen anymore. But that just illustrates the principle of the persecution of the innocent. And the reason the innocent tend to get persecuted is because you have these people that are driven by their obsession with, kind of being externalized and finding differences, finding all the differences, because that's all there is. If you're an externalized person, and what are you looking for in terms of identity? Well, then it all becomes about how people look and what they sound, their language, their accents, what language do they speak, what accents do they have, It all becomes about externalized things. And those are really empty things. They're, when it comes right down to it, they're pretty much meaningless. You know, or who has what. And, you know, that type of thing. So, but, you know, it's not a perfect world, and we're not here to have a perfect world. But what we are here is to learn. We're here to, you know, I believe we're here, this existence is about learning the truth, you know, and finding the truth. And I believe it's a journey that's worth taking. But, you know, then, you know, that is a mystery in and of itself. Why are some people really driven to find the truth while other people are sort of driven to run away from it, to run away from the knowing? And it really is, you know, be still and allow the knowing to catch up with you. And as I mentioned, you know, I mention from time to time, go to my website, truckertompodcast.com. Up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. There's about 4 files that are hosted there. And they'll teach you a very simple meditation technique. And the meditation itself isn't, you know, that's not the salvation. The meditation, what the meditation can do is bring you to a state of being objective. Bring you to a state where you can allow the knowing to catch up with you. And you don't have to do anything really other than learn to be still. Learn not to run away into distractions. Because we all have that tendency to do that. You know, that we've been raised our entire lives with distractions. You know, distractions are normal. Oh, well, that's normal. It's normal to be distracted. It's normal to have all these distractions. No, it's not. Not to say there's anything wrong with entertainment. There's not. But, you know, anything, and I mean anything, can be misused and is misused. If it can be misused, it will be. It is being misused. Anything at all. Including the Bible and religion are misused. So that's on my website. Give it a try. I can't promise it'll help everybody, but I do believe it'll help most people. If you find that it does help you, it's up to you to continue with it. It's all about you as an individual. Do you really want to know the truth? Do you really want to allow the truth? Do you really want to allow the knowing to catch up with you? You know, so if you're a person that is obsessed with external, the things external, sort of an externalized person, there really is nothing to look forward to. It's a bleak existence. It's pointless. In the end, it's pointless. You know, what you look like or who, what you have, people, place, you know, the people, places, and things. It's all empty. In the end, it's all completely empty. And so if you can learn to be still and allow the knowing to catch up with you, that is the purpose of existence. That's why we're here. We couldn't be created directly in that state. Because, you know, you go back to the Adam and Eve story, the first human beings, and there had to be first human beings, there had to be a first pair of human beings. They were created in that perfect state. Where they, you know, they were there. You know, they had perfect communion with their Creator. And what happened? The temptation was too great. And Adam basically blew it. And then he made, even worse, he started making excuse. Well, the woman you gave me, she made me do it. She offered me the forbidden fruit. Started making excuses. Making excuses is worse than the original sin. So there really is no meaning in being an externalized person. Nothing. It's empty. It's an empty existence. You know, and I believe, you know, if you're running away, if you're trying to distract yourself from the knowing while you're alive, and you live your whole life in that state, running away from the knowing, distracting yourself away from the knowing, what happens when you die? Do you think suddenly you're going to be... The knowing is going to come anyway, and there's no escape from it. And that could be hell. I don't know. So my philosophy is much better to begin to make friends with that, find that right here and right now while you're alive. By the way, Mike has a second comment that I have already listened to. It's about 2 minutes long, and he's talking about an Android app. I don't know if there's an iOS version of it or not. I think I've heard other people talking about this app, but anyway, once again, here's Mike.
Hey, Tom. I hope I'm getting through here. Sometimes it comes up on my Bluetooth on the truck. Sorry about that. I wanted to tell you, there's some app called Kodi, K-O-D-I. If you go on YouTube, you can look it up. It's on YouTube. And you if you've got an Android device, which I know you do, a phone or anything, you can go in, download the Kodi app. It's in the Google Play Store. And you basically go... just follow the steps there and put in this thing called Fusion .tv add-ons with a S .ag, and it'll give you a configure wizard, and it'll give you all these TV movies, some of the latest shows, latest movies that are out, that kind of thing. I ain't had it but just a week. I've been checking it out. But it's made for those streaming players and things like that. I've got it on my phone, and I just thought I'd tell you about it. You can check it out, and it's free. It's a free app. I mean, for me, I'm like, you know, I'm wanting to cut cable. I'm actually thinking about just cutting the cord and everything, because I've got Netflix and all those other things. And I mean, this has more than Netflix. It has, you can watch, you know, I watch under channel pair, PEAR, I watch a bunch of local news around the country, like Chicago, Canada, that kind of thing. But you can check it out there. I just thought I'd let you know, since you're home, I was just starting to listen to your latest podcast. I guess you're at the house there. Anyway, I just thought I'd let you know, have a good weekend.
Okay, well, thank you again, Mike. So I looked at that, and what that is sort of an XBMC. If you're familiar with what XBMC is, it's sort of it's written by the same people that write XBMC, and so it's sort of a media management type of thing that allows you to kind of bring in all sorts of different things that are streaming from the internet, as well as if you have files on your device, it will allow you to, I believe it would allow you to sort of organize those and play those if you have files already on your device. So there's a lot of different functionality there. So looks like a nice application. But what I have, like at home, of course, I've got a couple of Roku, those little Roku boxes, and those work pretty, they're Roku 2s. Those work pretty well, and so I make extensive use of those. A lot of the same stuff is available on Roku, including XBMC. So you can, you know, if you really get into it, you can stream just about anything that you know, that, you know, because there's a lot of different things that are available, and the Roku is particularly good at sort of finding those things. You know, if people write apps for it. Now, a lot of this stuff, if you got on your computer and get into Google, you know, eventually you could find those things, but what a lot of these things do is people are writing code that, you know, and these add-ons for this app that he just talked about, Kodi, they're sort of bringing those in and making it, they're sort of more accessible and making it more convenient. So, but I watch some YouTube videos on my phone. Occasionally I'll watch Netflix or Hulu Plus, but typically if I'm going to do that, you know, I'll use my iPad for that quite a, you know, I use that this iPad Air that I have. I use it quite a bit for if I'm going to be particularly if I'm going to be watching like episodes on Hulu. I watch also quite a bit of YouTube videos on that. So you know, and particularly it's you know, if depending on where I'm at, you know, now if I carry my phone inside somewhere and I'm going to watch a video, then that's pretty handy. But if I'm in the truck and I've got the iPad is right here and I've got my phone as well, then the iPad with a little bit bigger screen kind of makes more sense. Now I haven't looked, but I suspect that that Kodi app is also available for iOS. Since it's XBMC, because that's the XBMC is open source, and so they've written there's XBMC for Windows, there's XBMC for Mac, there's all kinds of XBMC. You know, they made it available for this new version of the Apple TV, as well as it's available on Roku. So they try to, it's open source, and they're trying to make that as open as they possibly can, and they've kind of improved the design of it over time so that those applications actually look pretty nice, and they're fairly, you know, functional as opposed to what they were a few years ago, because the XBMC app has been around for, you know, the various incarnations of that has been around for quite a few years now. So, anyway, thank you for sending that recommendation along. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and see if I can get it uploaded. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.